Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Thank you very much for keeping me up to date with your lives through the emails that you send me. It's really good of you to do that. Keep those emails coming. I'm going to do a session of shout-outs and catching up with you on the next edition of this show. But we did a lot last time, so I'm going to save them up and do them on the next edition of this show. Thank you very much to Adam at Creative Hotspot in Liverpool for keeping the wheels of the website and the show turning here. Couldn't do any of it without him. If you have sent a donation to the show recently, thank you very much. And if you haven't, and you have considered it, please do it. It is vital for us to develop this show. Of course, if you can't, and you know, I get emails from people saying, I can't afford to do that. And listen, I know how tough life is at the moment. I totally understand that too. But if you can make a donation, please do. And if you have recently, like I say, thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. Your guest suggestions, I always follow through on. And some people, when I email them and say, would you like to come on the show, they agree immediately. And it doesn't matter whether they're a huge name or a small name, you can never be sure what kind of reaction you're going to get. But some people say quite immediately, yep, yeah, we're going to do it. Some of them say we only do the big shows, and some of them don't want to do the show, or they're doing other things. So, you know, we always try. And we do get some very, very good people. We have a very high hit rate here on The Unexplained. We have a list of great guests coming up between now and the end of this year of 2017, which has gone so fast. I had a neuroscientist on the show, on the radio, a couple of nights back, talking with me about how we, as we get older, perceive time passing faster. Sometimes because some of the things we do are not new to us as we get older. And so we tend to erase them from our brain. We become habituated to them. And that is one of the reasons why time appears to pass more quickly. I happen to partly subscribe to Art Bell's theory that there is indeed a thing called the quickening. And everything is getting faster. And time maybe is really speeding up in a way that we can't measure, but we're aware of. It's a very strange world at the moment. And at times, as we know, a very sad one. My last show with Ray Szymanski, which is already prompting a lot of interest and a lot of feedback, I'll talk about that on the next edition, it was recorded hours before what happened in Las Vegas. What a terrible tragedy for not only everybody involved, but for the entire world, I think, certainly the US nation. It makes you sit and think, what is this world coming to? And how is it possible that such things didn't happen 20, 30, 40 years ago? Where are we headed, and what can we do? But what we can do from here in London is send our sympathies to the United States and to the people of Las Vegas and all those directly affected. And by the time you hear this, the story may have changed, so I won't say more than I have said, but you are in my thoughts and in my heart as I speak. On this edition of the show, we have an old friend, Linda Moulton Howe, returning, investigative reporter of the old school, a woman who does primary research and a lot of it. I've been having Linda on my shows for more than 15 years now, and I'm happy to call her a friend, and she's helped me with many shows, some good shows as well, in the past on a variety of radio stations that I've been on, and the podcast here at The Unexplained, at theunexplained.tv. So Linda Moulton Howe coming very soon. Like I say, when you get in touch with me by email, please tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use the show. I'd love to hear your stories. And any suggestions, anything you want to say, that's absolutely fine. I do see your emails, and as I've told you time and time again, the mainstream media is not quite as diligent as perhaps we are at The Unexplained at keeping track of your emails and actually reading them. But that's another point for another time. We might do a show on the media one of these days. Let's get to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to my old friend Linda Moulton Howe. Linda, thank you very much for coming back on.
Well, Howard, I always enjoy working with you and talking with you because I feel like we are having a conversation about subjects that I personally think are some of the most important in a world where it is hard to even get a reality check on whether a headline that comes in Facebook or Google is real or fake news being planted by insurrectionists or Russia. And that, to me, is one of the hallmarks of the huge change now, that we have it in spades. We know where it's proven in the United States that Russia had great influence on our 2016 election because they were manipulating news and articles and Facebook and Twitter and that world that a huge generation depends upon and doesn't go to the New York Times, the Guardian, the Washington Post, and I hope Earth Files. I know from the replies and emails that I get from people in universities that they will say, we are so grateful that you are trying to cover some subjects in depth at earthfiles.com. Now, I'm not in a huge building in New York City or in London where there are hundreds of people trying to cover news quite seriously and in the tradition of journalism that I have loved and respected my entire life. It's the fact, Howard, that in such a short time, maybe only 3 or 4 years, that these alt-right, before it's news, the Russian, how have they been able to hijack actual headlines that go around the world where people don't even try to a reality check? Could it be true that the mass shooter in Las Vegas was some ISIS operation? And we know big headlines today in the United States. The FBI and all of the agencies are reporting, no, this is not a person who has any connection to any terrorist group.
But of course, ISIS did claim responsibility, but then they claim responsibility for just about everything. Well, we assume it was ISIS who claimed responsibility or somebody on their behalf not long after. And of course, it now appears, and we have to say for our listener, that this was recorded a number of days before you will hear it. But it now seems that there is no connection whatsoever. But that still got out there and gained currency for 3-4 hours, maybe more.
And it's what we are fighting now in a world that is moving rapidly toward all digital, artificial intelligence, the question of robots that will be made to be in our homes, that can be hijacked by hackers and turned into weapons. This is a huge paradigm shift on a planet where the humanness of us is being replaced rapidly by logarithms and algorithms, and the idea that we are going toward a artificial intelligence-based world that I think Elon Musk is warning about quite credibly and legitimately. And when Elon Musk has done half a dozen presentations between 2016 and 2017, and he is using these words, this is an existential moment in the history of this planet for what is going to come at the rest of this century if we don't put now some controls on robots that could be working for armies, artificial intelligence that could be hacked from the outside and turned into weapons. I think he's absolutely right. And I think that there are other people in the, we'll call it the high-tech world, that are suggesting that they are agreeing with Elon Musk. But here, Howard, is the other problem of this generation we are now living in. The role of money and profit is wagging the dog of this world now as much or more than it ever has before, which then means that even if there are corporate heads who are aware and they might agree and nod their head and say, yeah, Elon is right, they are not going to say anything in conferences or in corporate boards that will be picked up by the New York Times because their profit depend upon a world that gets excited about the idea of robots an artificial intelligence taking over.
And there are very few people blowing the whistle. I had on my show a little while back a man here who you should talk to. His name is Professor Kevin Warwick. They call him Captain Cyborg here because he's actually had a chip put in himself to try it out. I think he's done it twice now. He's blowing the whistle about all of this. He is concerned. But the problem is that the amount of media space that people saying these things get is not very great. People saying the stuff that you've just come out with, Linda, there's not much of it about. And there's an awful lot hailing and lauding the advent of the time when everything is going to be handled this way. You've only got to listen to radio commercials. Extolling the virtues of how everything is going to be automatic. You know, we need to be, and you and I, maybe I could be accused of bias here because you and I are in total agreement again on this. We need to sit up, wake up, and do a great big reality check. But I'll tell you something for nothing. I don't think it's going to happen.
You do not think that the AI revolution is going to continue to dominate the rest of this?
No, I don't think anybody's going to put the brakes on it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, the brakes. Well, Elon Musk, in one of his most recent, I think it was in the United States, he said people are losing sight of, we right now, AI in the next 15 to 20 years is on the planning boards to replace most of the transportation systems in the world. Meaning AI, it'll be not drivers. This is going, we're going to massively go toward computerized cars and that, and trucks and delivery systems.
But I had Michio Kaku on my show probably 2 months ago, Linda, and I put all of this past him, and he said this is all okay because there'll be plenty of jobs for people programming the computers. It's just that we've got to upskill.
Okay. Oh, what a big disconnect. The lack of people who have any training in doing coding and are mathematical and interested in this area, it is such a huge problem that right now, I think it's Microsoft and Apple, they're trying to set up their own sort of education systems where they would be, I think, even paying people to come and start learning code. Because the disconnect in what we'll call the formal education system, at least in the United States, the schools, they aren't there. They're not supporting this at all. And if Elon Musk is right, that just 15 or 20 years, the transportation systems will be going all AI. You don't have anything that's going to pick up that huge swath of human population that has depended for their livelihood on being truck drivers, cab drivers, and all of the transportation systems. And I was talking with a pilot about this. It's an airline pilot just last weekend. And he made a point that I had not realized either. And we were talking about this whole rush of everything is going to the computers. And he said, a lot of people don't realize that the Dreamliner, I believe it's the biggest airline carrier. I think it can take 500 and some people. It is 100% computer. And if there was something like an electromagnetic pulse from, let's say, the North Korea area that was exploded in the air, let's say, west of Los Angeles, and there was a Dreamliner in the sky, there is nothing that can be done to save it. But if you are in some of the older planes that are not 100% computer driven, but have that ability for the pilots to come in and react as humans, they can get a big airliner, not a Dreamliner, but one of the smaller airliners. They literally, just like what happened on the Hudson River, they can take over and do manual override, and they can try to ride a plane glided down to a landing, even if it's a rough landing.
So this pilot was saying that in the future it wouldn't be possible for a hero like Sully to do what he did.
That's right. If it's a Dreamliner, it is 100% computer, and it will go down if there was something like an EMP.
Well, that is a sobering thought, and something else that is not getting in the mainstream media and is probably unlikely to, and that is very concerning. I take a very pessimistic view of it all, I'm afraid, Linda, and, you know, I don't want to be a downer on any conversation whatsoever, and I don't want to be a party pooper for those who are enjoying the technological march, but we just are not thinking. And we are marching towards this, and it's all controlled, as you say. It is all determined by the profit motive. Yeah. Now, we've got another problem, though. I don't know whether it's the same in the US. I'm sure it is, but you can tell me. People are getting poorer. So we have this great technological advance, but everybody's getting poorer. I'm getting poorer. I'm poorer than I was 5 years ago, without a doubt. I worry when I go to the supermarket now and I see something that costs... trivial examples, but, you know, I love coffee, these little one-cup coffee filters. They're really easy to get a good cup of coffee. I used to pay 99 pence for that, a couple of dollars, I think, $1.50, maybe so. They now cost a minimum of £2.20 and probably about £2.70. And every time I go to the supermarket, they're going up, along with everything else. People are getting poorer. Technology is on the march. This is all going to have, and I don't want people to think that I'm sounding like that guy in the movie Network, played by Peter Finch. His name was Howard as well, the character, leaning out of the window shouting, "I'm mad as hell and, you know, I'm not going to take it anymore." But, you know, are we aware of what we are marching towards? That's the question.
Well, no, that's why Elon Musk is saying this is an existential moment. He actually thinks that the survival of Homo sapiens, the species that so far is pretty much organic life, it is moving to dependence upon computers, even cyborgs, meaning that there is clearly beginning to rise up on the landscape out there. The idea that you could extend your life, if something happens, you will get a Xerox printed organ. You know what I mean by Xerox, the printer, the 3D printer. Sure. That can make organs. And that eventually the truth will be that organic humans are being replaced by their own efforts by what will increasingly become a cyborg civilization. Because a lot of people would like to extend their lives. There will be military people that the entire military thrust will be going more and more toward cyborgs. And let's go to what I think is the exciting frontier, if we can survive ourselves, and exactly what you're talking about, inflation to the vast large population, while 1% continue to control everything and make all the money. The exciting possibility here is moving out into the solar system, which is what Elon Musk says he is intent on being on Mars by the year 2026.
Yeah, I mean, last week in Adelaide, by the time my listener hears this, it'll probably be the week before last, but at a big conference in Adelaide, he was saying it's going to be cargo in 2022. It's going to be the beginnings of people in roughly 2024.
And 2026, he has said for 2 years, I will have a base on Mars in 2026. Now, the whole feeling inside of myself, listening to Elon Musk and hearing some other people who really, really are excited about the potential of getting an off-Earth base of humans, I feel excitement myself, but here it is. It is straitjacketed by this other huge, huge truth. We are on a planet where for at least 70 years from World War II to this day, that your prime minister, General Eisenhower, the presidents FDR to Truman, they all agreed that we would be in a planet where they were trying to deal with the appearance of silver discs that could run rings around your Royal Air Fighters, that was seen. They receive reports about it. The National Archives in your country have information about the fact that Eisenhower and Prime Minister Churchill were discussing the so-called Foo Fighters or the discs and were concluding. There was one letter written by a current scientist in your country that is in the National Archives. I've read it. And he was the son of a security officer to Prime Minister Churchill and overheard Prime Minister Churchill say to Eisenhower that they're talking about these technologies that are not terrestrial. And that Churchill said to Eisenhower, we must keep this a secret for at least 50 years or the money markets will collapse, religions will fail, and that this will be too much of a blow to the human psyche. And that was in around 1943 to 44.
So it's been 70, nearly 75 years now.
The war ends in 1945 because the United States drops those two bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But what no one knew was that as far back as April of 1941, in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, the amount of evidence now is too large to be ignored, that there was I'm not so sure it was a crash. I think that other intelligences like Trojan horses have been placing a craft at various places around this world. And so that humans would get the technology to back engineer on certain routes. And that in this particular case, the date given is April 12, 1941 as the best date. And that there was this triangular shape, like a wedge of pie, that is also described in the documents about what came down in Roswell between July 2nd and July 5th of 1947, 6 years later. And that the people who were there firsthand said, yes, we were not dealing with round disks, even though the Roswell Daily Record reported that a disk had crashed on that ranch. The truth was, that was even misinformation. Those were wedge-shaped vehicles. The 1941 Cape Girardeau was described by eyewitnesses who are still alive to this day as being shaped like a wedge of pie. And the Army, there was an Army group in Sykeston, very close to Cape Girardeau. They came in, they took out that craft, and there were two bodies. And the people who were eyewitnesses said those two bodies were identical. And even then, identical meant that they had to be clones. This indicates that in 1941, the United States government, at the highest level, which then would have been the White House, it would have been Cordell Hull, Secretary of State. George Marshall was Secretary of War. Transition period of the death of FDR to Truman was occurring that year. And all of those men were 33rd degree Masons. That's a historic fact. When they would be confronted with clones and technology that was clearly not from this planet, they would have said, we must keep this a secret, and that they were 33rd degree Masons. They had in their own work together in the Masonic Lodge, keeping secrets was part of being 33rd degree Mason. And all of a sudden, the texture and the historic weaving of those people, those events leading up to World War II, and then coming out of World War II, the policies of denials and lies were already in place in England and the Allies, and the United States, in which those policies were then treated at the highest level of classification. And when you look at then the history that Eisenhower, who was talking with Prime Minister Churchill in England about keeping everything a secret concerning the UFOs, and then becoming president, and General Eisenhower perpetuating the policies of lies. But what did he do as he was going out and transferring the baton to John F. Kennedy? It was his famous warning about the military-industrial complex.
A phrase that we'd never heard before.
No, he was the initiator, and he was the ultimate insider at the time. I do not think any president since Eisenhower has ever had the full-scale knowledge that General Eisenhower had. And that leaving the presidency and his warning about the military-industrial complex that was now taking too much power, having too much influence in what was supposed to be a government of, by, and for the people in the Declaration of Independence from your country and in the Constitution that formed this country as a democracy.
So flip now, forward 7 decades, and here we are facing what you call an existential, and what Elon Musk called an existential threat to the human race caused by the attrition of technology upon the human race. Do you think that those things tie together, the military-industrial complex and the secrecy and where we're at now?
They completely control the black underbelly in your government, my government, the allies of World War II, that the black underbelly that has been writing the back engineering of technology that was from someplace else, and that what Elon Musk knows and doesn't know about all of the back engineered secret space program, I would doubt personally that he's ignorant. I would guess that he's been read into the program, is the phrase here in the United States.
Well, I'm not aware of him ever being questioned on these subjects. I don't think anybody, I mean, he's a very hard man to get to interview anyway, but I don't think anybody's run any of this past him. I would love to.
But where I'm headed with all of this is we are at a revolutionary time in every direction, from where we began in this interview to the idea that this is the end, essentially, of 2017. We will soon be in 2018. So we are talking in 8 years, 9 the most, within 1 decade, that Elon Musk is asserting that he will have a base on Mars. And this is simultaneous to the policies of lies and denial that are still in place in the Western ally world about UFOs and UAPs as being real, when they are, and they've known it for so long, and that the whistleblowers who come to me now, the whistleblowers who are giving me information, I'm just going to sum up one of the threads that is repeated by whistleblowers, even if I can't prove it. I think it is worth putting it out there as here is a thread of content, and that if it is true for 7.2 billion people to be denied this truth, while 1% of the population manipulates, controls, runs, lies, and denies. This is the thread. First-hand knowledge from working on highly classified missions in which for the last 15 years on this planet, archaeology, that means digging for artifacts, archaeology has been ongoing in Antarctica, the backside of the moon, and on Mars, in which they know that the archaeology of artifacts matches in the northern hemisphere of Mars to the backside of the moon to what is underneath the ice in Antarctica. If that is true, you have to start with Antarctica. I just did on Coast to Coast and at my news website, earthfiles.com, 2 long in-depth interviews, one with a climate scientist, Kevin Trenberth, who is a recipient of a Nobel Prize with a group for his work on the atmosphere and climate change. The second, Professor William Bingham, who is from the Edinburgh, Scotland. And their new work has to do with the fact that they have confirmed through ice-penetrating radar 138 volcanoes underneath the ridge. It is called the Antarctica Ridge. It is between the east and the west sides of Antarctica. The east is all on land. The west is ice floating on water, but the ridge is on land. Those volcanoes are in many ways a potential threat if any of them start going off in a world that is warming up, and the release of ice and water melt means less pressure on the land of the ridge in Antarctica, and that the volcanoes in Finland and areas of Northern Europe have gone off when there's been ice melt, suggesting if you get a release of pressure on the surface of the land over volcanoes, there will be the possibility that you will get active volcanoes. And that is a whole other story we can talk about. But where this is headed, the whole idea that all of this land mass under 1 mile to 2 miles of ice, where there is land in Antarctica. The last time that Professor Bingham and the climatologists think that the East Antarctica was free of ice was 33 million years ago. The West, they think, was clear of ice up to about 22 million years ago. Now, if it is true, these threads, and I'm calling them threads, I would love to have hard proof. I'm a journalist who has always struggled with science, with hard facts, going into laboratories. That is the basis of everything I've tried to do. And the frustration is we're getting these whistleblower statements. We have these threads that keep connecting these three areas together. But Howard, if you, I, or anybody wanted to go to Antarctica on a fact-finding mission, you're going to encounter the fact that it is extremely difficult to get any permission to go in any way to Antarctica. So the government has controlled that also since World War II. Now, if the thread is correct, then it means that something was building pyramids and structures that have hieroglyphs on them when there was no ice 33 million years ago. If that one sentence is proved, it takes humanity completely out of the picture. The oldest that you can make, Homo sapiens sapien, on Earth is Lucy 2 million years ago. Subtract 2 million from 33. And this would be something working on this planet 31 million years before the most accepted date of a standing up primate in Africa.
It's mind-boggling. And you're saying that if this stuff matches what is on the far side of the moon, then we have anyway a game changer, but we have something that will rock us to the very core. Do you believe the Chinese? I was reading something online today, but there is so much disinformation and misinformation online, you never know, matter how well it's produced, you just don't know whether there's fact behind it. But the Chinese know what is on the far side of the moon and might be set to reveal it.
It's a really good question. Do you remember the... Well, I did a very long interview with Scott Jones, who was in Navy Intel back in the 70s, when the Senator Pell hired Scott Jones, Navy Intel, on a secret trip with a full letter of approval and permission from the Secretary of State in 74 to go to Beijing work with a contingency of representatives from the then Chinese government to show Scott Jones information about retrievals of extraterrestrial craft and bodies. That was the secret mission. Pell wanted to know if Scott Jones could see the facts for himself that they had government information about. And when I did a long interview, which is at my news website, earthfiles.com, and I believe it was in 2007, Scott Jones, for the first time, I believe that year, was finally going on the record about that trip. And this is the part that is so memorable to me to this day, vividly remembering Scott saying these words. He said, "Linda, I saw everything that you, I, and the world want to see. They have craft, they have bodies, they have artifacts, they have technologies. This is China." And he said, "When my group was getting ready to leave, and I had political handlers the entire time, I was not allowed to do anything alone, I decided to ask the question that was dominating my mind at the time." And he said to the prime political representative who had been handling him in the trip, "Sir, you have all of the evidence that the world would like to see. Please tell me, why is it that you do not reveal all of this to the world?" And he said that his political handler put his palms of his hands together, as people in the East are likely to do, and bowed to Scott Jones. And that when he stood back up, the handler threw a translator to Scott, who did not speak Chinese. So it's a translator, said, "We are waiting for the United States to act, A-C-T, to act." And I said, "Scott, what immediately jumps into my mind was Nixon going to China to have a meeting with Mao. Do you suppose that was because we know that Nixon knew about UFOs and ETs from Dwight Eisenhower, that Nixon was a vice president to?"
And that happened about, was it 73 that Nixon went to China?
It was, I'm not was even exactly, it might have been a little bit earlier, actually. And the, and that, could Nixon and Mao have done a formal secret treaty, and that Nixon was getting Mao, that he knew also had UFOs and technology and bodies, just like the United States, just like Russia, that the world was becoming sophisticated enough that the world leaders might have had exposure, and that Nixon wanted an agreement with Mao to wait until the United States decided that they would reveal to the world first? Is that possible, that there is such a secret treaty that would explain that man bowing to Scott Jones, who was there on official meeting, an exploration of what they had in terms of ETs and UFOs, and that bow and that statement, "We are waiting for the United States to act," could it be resonating, reverberating, as you and I are speaking today on October 3rd, 2017, well, the United States has still not chosen to act, even though I and a few of my colleagues who are very serious, we have never had so many frustrated whistleblowers as I have had men talk to me in the last 12 months. We never thought that this secret, that we are not alone in this universe, that other life forms have been interacting with this planet for at least 270 million years. I've heard this said to me in huge frustration. And when I say to them, so far they've all been men, no woman has been a whistleblower on these categories, I want to tell this story, but you say you can't put your face in a camera. I'm willing to come with a videotape crew. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to put my name, my reputation, and everything I've got, and at the risk of who knows what, And all of them say, we can't risk the threats to our families. Linda, you have no idea how the hardball that is played, both at a money level, a life level. But we want you to know that what you have been reporting and investigating for so long is true, and you must keep going. I've heard that now several times. And then,
and what sort of rank and status have these people held, Linda? How important are these people? I don't expect you to tell me who they are, but, you know, just how significant are the people who've spoken to you in this way?
Hands-on artifacts of the three places I have told you.
Okay, but you talked about the Chinese 43 years ago, the Chinese. I just want to get this point out there because, you know, it's 43 years. The world was a radically different place. The Chinese don't need America's say-so on anything now.
Okay, that comes to exactly the next paragraph I was going to lead is, if China and the United States and Russia and Europe and New Zealand and Australia, Brazil, which has lots, if all of these countries that are not allied politically or in government continue to perpetuate the policies of denial and lies, what is it that they think that they know that they feel that the rest of the planet still in 2017 going into 2018 cannot yet know? That makes me nervous, but at the same time, remote viewers who have worked and done solid work for the CIA, NSA, DIA, and I'm sure MI6 has been involved, when they say that they had tasking, when they were doing projects for the CIA and the NSA and they knew it, and that what their tasks end up, they don't know what the tasks are when they're actually doing the work. They only learn later that they were remote viewing other life forms in this solar system, the Milky Way galaxy, and the universe. And they all say every one of them encountered what they use the phrase, the universe is teeming with life, but here's the but. Some of them are friendly, and some of them are not. Our government's concern is those that are not, and do we have enough allies in other intelligences that could forever protect this planet? And I say, well, then of all of the reasons that I could give about why the entire planet as soon as possible needs to know everything the governments know is this. If we are 7.2 billion and counting, and we have been being kept like babies under the, we're not alone in the universe, and that what we're really extraterrestrials, we got down on our knees to in the past, in the ancient past, and that now it is critical for our survival as a species on Earth to understand everything about who is an ally and who is an enemy. If we are coddled and treated like babies by the 1% who continue to take advantage of our ignorance to make their money and control all of the power centers of the Earth, the rest of humanity is never ever going to be on even ground with any of that 1%. And when you look at a planet that is being held hostage for decades by policies of denial and lies, how can this ever move to a revolution in which all humans have a singular same chance? Because if we're on a planet that something has decided that we are always to be kept in the dark, that only 1% will ever know the truth, and that the non-humans, even the friendly ones, have some kind of vested interest in keeping humanity dumb and blind. I reject that. I reject that as a struggling Homo sapiens sapien. I want every human being to know what all of the governments know. Because until then, Howard, no matter how it is dressed up, no matter what the revolution is, whether it's toward AI or whatever the revolution, getting a contingency of humans on Mars with Elon Musk that will be a true breakaway civilization for survival of them, but not survival of all of us on Earth. There is something about understanding all of this and feeling the criticalness of right now going forward. There may be tremendous violence from the weather because we are on a global warming climate. There is no question about it. And for the governments to take positions that we are not on a planet with global warming is in of itself an abuse. It's an abuse of power. It is a struggle to keep making money while this planet needs human beings who know the whole of all of the consequences, who begin to finally understand what is at stake here, and that if you wait to coddle and wait for this generation that you and I are in to die off, so that it will be easier to manipulate and handle the three generations coming, of which the millennials now will be, they're the youngest. They will soon have the power. And if they continue to be kept in lies and darkness while a breakaway civilization is put on Mars or wherever else they may have breakaway civilizations, the future of Earth, the future of Homo sapiens sapiens surviving without being replaced by an entire new breed is what I personally think is hanging in the balance. And the reason it can hang in the balance is because we are living on a planet that for so long has had concocted policies of lies and denial to coddle the majority, to keep them from knowing, while the 1% could run this planet. And if Jim Mars, my dear friend, who passed a few weeks ago, he knew everything I'm telling you and more.
Now, look, it's been announced in the last week that we're going to have a base on the moon. It looks like that's going to happen relatively soon. Now, if there are truths on the moon that play into all of this, then they can't be kept secret, can they? If we have a base on the moon and not just visit it in 1969 to 1972, we're going to have people living and operating from the moon. It will be a forward base for exploring the rest of the cosmos. So this stuff is going to come out, isn't it?
Howard, have you heard of non-disclosure agreements?
But you think the people who go there will be signed up to those?
Every single person that's going to go on these missions will have signed multiple layers of non-disclosure agreements. And one of the conveniences from Earth is the fact that on the backside of the moon, it never shows to the front to us. So we're always looking at the same face of the moon, and anything can go on the backside of the moon without any reality check by anybody who is not included by signing NDAs and going on missions to the backside of the moon. They will be the only ones who have a reality check.
So it'll be same old, same old.
Exactly, unless we have a revolution here. A serious revolution.
Now, there is a problem with that, though. I had Steve Bassett in my studio for an hour and a half a couple of weeks ago. And Steve, as you know, is in Europe at the moment, piling on the pressure for disclosure. It's stalled in the US by the looks of it. So he's come here to Europe. He's just done some interviews for Russian television that I understand have gone quite well. He appeared on my show. He's trying to get people to come forward here. But it looks like the whole disclosure movement has, with the best will in the world, it's stalled. So, where are we going? If the disclosure movement has stalled, there's no hope, is there?
Well, that it seemed to be moving rapidly with John Podesta and Hillary Clinton. And we, all of us who were, I think, at least hoping that there would be rational government in the United States, hoped that Hillary Clinton would be elected, I'll just say that, and that we knew behind the scenes from many sources. You're familiar with Tom DeLonge working with military people, John Podesta, even his WikiLeaked emails were dealing, he was dealing with the astronauts and various people. There were various facets, we'll call it that. Grant Cameron had information about other groups. Everything seemed to be headed toward Hillary Clinton will be president. John Podesta has got all of the we call it confirmation, John Burroughs and I, because as far as we're concerned, the evidence of another intelligence interacting on this planet has been strong in many ways for a long time. And so this, we're waiting for confirmation. And even Robert Bigelow said in his 60 Minutes interview that he was waiting for confirmation. Disclosure was something that happened years and years and years ago. So if you go on the confirmation track, that is why when Hillary Clinton was on Jimmy Kimmel and the various TV shows, and she was basically indicating that she was getting some kind of briefing about unidentified aerial phenomena and even corrected the use of UFOs had been changed to UAPs. She was definitely sending signals that what we were hearing from behind the scenes was true. They were getting ready to release. Now, when the earthquake occurred and Clinton was elected, all of that came to a screeching halt. We felt it, we saw it, and
you mean when Donald Trump was elected?
Yeah, it all came to a screeching halt. Now, there are signals that are currently being sent by people that can't be named or they're not going to be on television or radio, that 2018 is some it's fall and the goldenrod. I have lots of allergies and I struggle with it. Sorry.
No worries.
That 2018 is shaping up to be some kind of pivotal year, as 2017 was, that 2018 is also. Now, does that mean that there are contingent reasons for why Elon Musk feels an urgency to get to Mars and get this base by 2026? That's been suggested. And it is as if we are now finally in some sort of a countdown that is real, meaning it may be that there are forces, something happening in the Milky Way galaxy. Something is putting pressure on all human sides to get out those huge headlines. We're not alone in this universe. We never have been. And that there are interactions with other intelligences. The Greeks and the Anunnaki were really extraterrestrials. It is not mythology. That there are wars between intelligences. And we finally get a sort of first grade primer on what is going on actually in the universe. And that this story of life is not confined to the Earth, that we're talking about this moving out to a solar system revelation that goes to a Milky Way galaxy revelation. And then from there, it's a huge universe. And that it may be that the fast radio bursts. This year at conferences, I'm going to be doing a keynote on the science of the fast radio bursts, which is truly hard fact. And it is exciting. In March of this year, I interviewed Avi Loeb, who was chairman of the astronomy department at Harvard University.
Yes, I've had him on my show a couple of times. Linda, can I ask you a little favor? Can you just move back just an inch from the microphone? You're popping it slightly. Sorry, spoke with Avi.
And my interview was about the release of his paper in a scientific journal co-authored with one of his colleagues, in which the hypothesis was that based on the energy in the fast radio burst, for example, one of the most recent, it was 500 million of what would be our yellow sun half a billion yellow sun equivalent. That was a pulse of energy from 3 billion light years from Earth that lasted less than 1 second. And here was the astonishment to every scientist. How could that happen? And there not be one scintilla of data of afterglow? How could this much energy pulse in less than a second and there was no afterglow? That is what got Avi Loeb's attention and so many other scientists. And his whole paper was about this as a, we'll call it a hypothesis, that this was the first hard evidence of light speed travel, and he called it transportation by advanced intelligences in a system 3 billion light years from here. Now, when the chair of the Department of Astronomy at Harvard University puts his name on a paper that goes into a science journal, and they are saying that the fast radio bursts are the hypothesis, light speed propulsion in an advanced intelligence. Wow. I just think that was one of the most significant events of 2017.
Well, I need to ask him about it next time I speak with him, because he's been on this show two or three times now. So that's interesting, Linda. Where does this leave us then?
You can go to earthfiles.com. It's March. The entire MP3 audio of my interview with Avi Loeb is right there. You can play it. And that the whole, his whole hypothesis is laid out with even images.
All right. Well, I mean, look, one thing that always impressed me about Avi Loeb is that he is willing to think out of the box, and he is a man of great erudition and science. So I'm glad that there's somebody like that out there. Where does all of this leave us then? Here we are. It is October 2017. The disclosure movement appears to have stalled somewhat. You are still reporting phenomena like animal mutilations. I see on your website, Argentina and Canada, there's an update there that's just gone up there. So all of this stuff is still happening. Unfortunately, down here on Earth, we have issues like Kim Jong-un. What is going to happen with the Trump presidency? Where will it go? What will happen? Who is going to resign next? Plus, there is terrorism, acts of violence, and all the other stuff that is happening in the news. Where are these issues being left?
Well, my own personal, the energy inside me has always been that we're going to continue to be a planet that can be manipulated by forces that do not have the interest of Homo sapiens sapien in mind at all, and never have. And so to move from being totally ignorant cattle, so to speak, in the metaphor, to consciousnesses that are intelligent and that I am convinced humanity has very special soul spirit animation of their organic bodies. For us to finally come into, we'll say, a kind of adulthood, instead of being treated like babies and manipulated, if this planet all at once, with headlines around the planet in The Guardian and The New York Times and The Washington Post and those that can be trusted, and earthfiles.com, my own website, we're not alone, and here's why, and it's fast radio bursts, they are clearly signs of advanced intelligence. It is far enough away to not be an immediate threat, but I would like to see honest headlines that would say, we can finally confirm that various military and intelligence operations are aware that there are a lot of life forms in this universe and in this Milky Way galaxy, and that there are friends and there are foes, and that what we are now going to do is start trying to work as an entire planet in which we are all reporting the same, that what you see and what you report will be given some respect, and that we're going to move forward for the rest of this century trying to cope with global climate change and warming with the help of technologies and knowledge from other intelligences, that this will be the century where we finally join with something that can help us, not hurt us. Mm.
And in order to get there, though, it seems to me that humankind is going to have to be brought to its knees, whether it is climatic issues, whether perhaps it is war, World War III perhaps, something or burst from the sun, whatever, is going to have to make us wake up and smell the coffee. I don't think any of that's going to happen until something of that, I'm not willing it to happen, but until something of that order transpires, I think we're still going to be asleep.
You may be right. It's sad. And if that is true, Howard, then in a strange way, you're also reinforcing my point that we wouldn't be so manipulatable, gullible, ignorant, struggling to figure out how to put humanity to work in which people could thrive. It wouldn't be at this stage if we hadn't been kept in an artificial ignorance that we have been manipulated for at least 30 or 40,000 years. I'm talking about this current Homo sapiens-sapien model, that when an entire life form is kept ignorant of an entirely different environment and truth about their own planet, their own solar system, their moon, the galaxy, everything has been of truth, has been denied. To me, the other side of that is that you either have a revolution where truth itself finally telling all of the facts, good and bad, and then, for the very first time in existence, humanity will be facing itself on a completely different square. And that, to me, that's where you call coming into adulthood from puberty or childhood or infantness. We haven't done that on this planet yet because we have not been a species that has been treated with any truth at any level by any of the so-called manipulators.
You know, it makes me wonder, having spoken with you and having talked again about Winston Churchill, who was a man of remarkable fortitude, who achieved an awful lot. I mean, he saved us from the terrible things that would have been coming down the track to us in World War II if he hadn't been around. I wonder if he was around today, what he would say.
Well, the thing that I have had a discussion with some colleagues about is, if during that discussion between Prime Minister Churchill and Dwight D. Eisenhower, then general, that was overheard by the security guard who told his son, who became a scientist, who is active in England right now, if Prime Minister Churchill had said to Eisenhower, "We must tell the world," what could have changed if in 43 or 44, those two great leaders told the truth? And that part of the truth that might have been announced is what the whistleblowers today, they say World War II was an extraterrestrial war between longtime combatants being fought through human bodies, that Hitler was manipulated up the kazoo by an intelligence with its own self-serving goals that had absolutely nothing to do with being a Homo sapiens sapien on Earth. So now, if there are people today who are saying that that is one of the truths about World War II, and if Winston Churchill and Eisenhower had said, "We're just going to let the chips fall where they may, and we're going to tell the truth," maybe the war itself would have come to a completely different collision, an end, and that the whole question of atomic warfare and the development of bombs, I've often wondered, was that something manipulated in E equals MC squared in Einstein's mind? Because something else would then be served by development of nuclear war on this planet. You can't help but begin to ask these rhetorical questions because Prime Minister Churchill made a decision which I think stuck for the next 50 years. But underneath that decision was secrecy, policies of lies, hiding black money, developing technologies that would not be shared with the world, but are underground or someplace else. And that I do not have any doubt whatsoever that Prime Minister Churchill and General Eisenhower, whatever their decision, reason, I think they were trying to help humanity. And what I'm saying today in 2017, we are not helped by policies of lies and denial about the actual realities of this Earth, the Moon, Mars, the solar system, the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond being teeming with other life, some of which could be an ally and some of which could be an enemy, until we are all grown up to all of the facts that the governments and the one percenters share. We're never going to be on a planet that plays fair with humans ever.
Linda, we're going to have to wrap it up. Just one final question, and thank you again for speaking with me. I know we'll talk again. On the last edition of my show, I had a man called Ray Szymanski on. You may be aware of him. He says that he worked as an engineer at Wright-Patt. He said that, you know, there was, obviously he said, because that's the premise of his book, that there was all sorts of exotic stuff there. What do you think is at Wright-Patterson Air Base?
Oh, my, they have had bodies, craft, technologies from early 40s, not just 47. And if you had talked to as many people as I have, looking eye to eye before they died, I've been in that situation. And they want that. That's a phrase I have heard. Linda, I want you to know that what you are investigating and reporting is true. And then they give me their reasons, but that they must remain anonymous to their death, after their death, because why? Because their families, the pensions, the survival, all of it is threatened to be yanked. They are told this, that if they talk, then everything that would support their families will be gone. And that has been said to me so many times, dozens of times.
And yet you are still free to talk.
Well, I'm a reporter who is supposed to be living and working in what? The United States of America, a government of, by, and for the people, in which I am supposed to be protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution that is supposed to respect free press in the United States. And I have tried to put one foot in front of the other ever since I started on animal mutilations and got deeper and deeper into the government, how hardball and unfair they play to anybody who is revealing the facts and the truth about interactions on this planet by another intelligence. I've been there. I have seen how unfair they play. I am still alive. And the fact that I'm still alive and I have reported as much as I have reported, I don't know if it is because there are people inside of the United States government who are frustrated and they fight with each other about it is not right to keep all of this from the American public. I'm assuming that argument has gone on for the last 70 years. And that those who have said, like Prime Minister Churchill, if we tell the truth, the stock markets will fall, the religions will collapse, and so forth, that they have prevailed because they generate fear. And I'm saying we're way past that kind of argument, that if we're going to survive as a species, we need to be told all of the truth about what made us, why we are here on this planet, why were there so many species of primates before us standing up like Neanderthalensis, what is the truth of habitation in this solar system millions of years ago, and what is the truth about the relationship of varying types of intelligences that military people describe that they know about in the Milky Way galaxy that fight each other. It is, in one way, it is depressing to know that there are supposed to be wars going on inside of our galaxy, let alone on Earth. But at the same time, everything I have ever learned in my life, and maybe has helped why I am still alive, is that if you're a conscious life form and you are kept in the dark on purpose by other forces in order to take advantage and manipulate, that you as a conscious life form, you will never, ever be able to evolve to stand on your own 2 feet. That, to me, is the very bottom line of where this planet is right now. And if we were told the truth, these insane wars and violence might maybe not completely stop, but maybe there would be a dent made in the tribalism that seems to be reinforced by something to cause these wars to keep going, when if we knew bigger truths, we might not fight each other so much.
And that is a big hope. And it's, you know, maybe it may happen, maybe it won't, but we have to keep trying. Linda, as they used to say on Peyton Place years ago, to be continued. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for letting me just speak my mind. Thank you.
Well, regulars will know that Linda Moulton Howe's website is earthfiles.com. And boy, it's crammed with great information and constantly and accurately updated. Earthfiles.com. I'll put a link to her website on my website, theunexplained.tv. Thank you very much for being with me on my journey, supporting me through the good times and the not quite so good times. More great guests in the pipeline here at The Unexplained. My name is Howard Hughes. I am in London. And until next we meet here, please stay safe. Please stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. Thanks very much. Take care. Bye-bye.